on this edition of the Iowa Business Report.
And what businesses are really looking for is, right now, they're most concerned with how do they transition operations to a virtual environment, because many of their employees are not in the office.
The role of artificial intelligence in manufacturing. It could lead to greater efficiency. Iowa's manufacturing report card gets high marks overall, but there are a few areas for improvement. And we'll tell you about a Southeast Iowa company providing custom solutions for partners and customers across the country. This is the Iowa Business Report for Labor Day weekend 2020.
The Iowa Business Report is presented with support from the Iowa Association of Business and Industry. The Iowa Association of Business and Industry has been the voice of Iowa business since 1903. Learn more online at iowaabi.org. Here is Jeff Stein.
The annual Iowa Advanced Manufacturing Conference will be held later this month on Wednesday, September 30th. It will be held virtually, as with about everything else these days. It's still billed as the state's largest celebration of advanced manufacturing, providing insights, innovation, and inspiration to help companies take their operations to the next level. One of the ways to do that has always been through improved technology, and now that typically involves computers. The opening speaker at this year's event is Matthew Lamons, co-founder and managing partner of the Intelligence Factory, in a presentation called Business, Industry, and COVID-19, the Industry 4.0 Guide to Response, Recovery, and Rebound.
Artificial intelligence is really making things surprisingly smart. And we see it every day. We see it in terms of our interactions with streaming services like Netflix, where there's recommendations. We're starting to see content being pushed to us that is more likely to be what we really were looking to search in the first place. It happens when we look for things on Google, and we're starting to search, and the recommendations are much more targeted to our true intent of what we're looking for versus some of the maybe the phrasing that we were looking at. We see artificial intelligence in our smartphones. We can start doing translations on the fly, recommendations in terms of where we want to go based on traffic patterns and accidents and that sort of thing. So those are surprising activities and functions that we see in technology now that we didn't see 5 years ago, 10 years ago for sure. Artificial intelligence makes things that we don't have an experience of being smart do things that we didn't think that they could do. And it's pretty cool, because that artificial intelligence means it's actually not only being used for large, big companies and the era of big data. We heard about big data, you know, was really popular 4 or 5 years ago, and it hasn't gone away, but the value of big data is for big companies. But what we need, as you and I and people in the real world, we need the value of small data, artificial intelligence, where we're at in the real world with real devices. And that's really what's coming. And it's very exciting, because that technology means that we'll see it more often. We'll notice it for a while and we'll say, oh, everything is getting smart now. Everything has AI. And then what'll happen, it's going to be really cool, that AI will then be so good, it'll go into the background and it'll just be an experience that we come to expect. So we'll see a rise in awareness of AI. And then I think it's going to go and fade in the background as we get more comfortable with it.
So how does that translate to business, industry, manufacturing? You're speaking at the Advanced Manufacturing Conference in Iowa at the end of the month. At least the event is being sponsored in Iowa. Everything's virtual these days. What are the applications or transitions that industry, particularly manufacturing, will be undertaking to take advantage of what I perceive as efficiencies with AI?
Artificial intelligence is really about optimization in many regards. How do you maximize something good and minimize risk or something that's failing? And in manufacturing and in business, what business is starting to do, and it's really crystallized and been very clear because of the COVID-19 challenges in 2020. 2020 has been a heck of a year. But because of COVID-19, the plans for industry in digital transformation. How do you take a company that was working in a people-based business, in a paper-based business years ago, that paper-based business has now gone to applications. So people are creating data and they're using data, but now it's digitizing the operations and an enterprise so that information can be used by multiple parties in that same organization, and not only within the organization, but the connectors to other suppliers in the supply chain and their end consumer. And that digitization is through digital transformation. And what businesses are really looking for is right now, they're most concerned with how do they transition operations to a virtual environment? Because many of their employees are not in the office. How do they provide additional communication channels so that their consumers and the people that they service can interact with their operations, not only for customer service, but for actually service delivery? And so that additional channels of communication is a very hot topic now in digital transformation. And you can imagine the intelligence, the algorithms that need to be applied to that technology are coming on board. And then a big part of what digital transformation and artificial intelligence is being tasked right now is in reference to supply chain resiliency, visibility of the supply chain and all the components of that. But it's also many people are really looking at taking their supply chain and bringing it much more close to home. And that's great for Iowa. Because what it means is, you know, years ago, when you and I grew up, if we were in the country, we were in the middle of nowhere. We were literally cut off from the world. And things happened elsewhere, and they happened at a faster pace, and they would trickle down to where we were. I grew up in the country in southern Illinois. That's not the world that we live in anymore. Where we live now is, no matter where you're at, you're in the middle of everywhere. Because of the internet, your effective supply chains if you're in a business, the safety and security of being in a very stable community where you can put your plant down, you can distribute your products, you can make your products there, and they can go anywhere in the world, it makes it very advantageous for Iowans in the business sense.
It was sort of like, again, for those of us who grew up in a rural area, when radio first became popular in the 1920s, 1930s, the great equalizer was technology, that the radio signals could come in and you could be in southern Illinois or central Iowa and out in the rural areas, but you got the same entertainment as they did in big cities. This is analogous, is it not?
It really is. And what the benefit of this technology is, its ability to amplify power and reach. And that power and reach means that manufacturers and businesses in Iowa are on a much more level playing field. In some regards, even they have certain advantages that other places don't have. Because of the ability to, for like a service provider like my company, The Intelligence Factory. We literally have some of our employees are in the St. Louis region, some are out in the East Coast. We've got one data scientist who's in London, one's in India, and we do business. We've got a partnership with a company in Singapore. And this is little old me from Southern Illinois, right? How did this happen, right? That's the world we live in, right? And so if you have a company and you're in Iowa, you've got a great workforce, you've got a low cost of living, a low cost of operations, you've got a business-friendly governmental environment. Why would you ever put your company in Silicon Valley or in a high-tax state where you have an antagonistic environment? It doesn't make any sense. I think that you look at artificial intelligence and the technologies that can be applied to manufacturing and industry of different kinds, it really makes it possible to have a first-class run operation no matter where you're at. And so what business leaders decide is, okay, where can I have a great workforce, have them have a great standard of living, safe neighborhoods, good communities, and put out a first-class product that can live in the marketplace and capture its world?
Matthew Lamons of The Intelligence Factory and lead-off presenter at the annual Advanced Manufacturing Conference, sponsored by the Iowa Association of Business and Industry. It will be held virtually on Wednesday, September 30th. For more information or to register, go to iowaabi.org. There's much more to the conversation on AI. Hear it all by listening to the podcast. Go to totallyiowa.com and click on the radio programs link. Still to come, a manufacturing report card, and you'll hear from a business owner who is carrying on and expanding upon the foundation her late husband created. You're listening to the Iowa Business Report.
The Iowa Business Report is a copyrighted production of Totally Iowa Media, which is solely responsible for its content. For more, click on the radio programs button at totallyiowa.com.
This came into our inbox at radio@totallyiowa.com this week. The 2020 Manufacturing Scorecard from the Ball State University Center for Business and Economic Research was released on September 1st. It analyzes how each state ranks among its peers in several areas of the economy they say underlie the success of manufacturing and logistics. Letter grades are given, comparing each state's situation from last year to this. On the bright side, Iowa retained its grade of A for the manufacturing sector as a whole. But at the other end of the scale, Iowa's tax climate rates an F for this form of business. Iowa is rather average, rating a C of some kind in global reach, sector diversification, and productivity and innovation. Grades of B were given in categories including logistics, human capital, and expected fiscal liability. And we slipped a bit down to a D-plus in worker benefit costs from the previous year. But again, compared with the remainder of the states in the country, Iowa's manufacturing sector as a whole got an A. The full report is online at the Ball State Center for Business and Economic Research website. Coming up, a compelling story of a woman who assumed control of her family's business under the most difficult of circumstances. You're listening to the Iowa Business Report.
The Iowa Business Report is presented with support from the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, helping develop the next generation of business leaders through Leadership Iowa, Business Horizons, and Leadership Iowa University. To learn more, go to iowaabi.org.
In this week's business profile, we'll meet Jenny Steffensmeyer, CEO of Steffensmeyer Welding and Manufacturing of Pilot Grove in Lee County. From machining to welding, custom metal fabrication to engineering, the company offers a wide variety of services, and 100% of the company's current energy needs comes from solar power, the first facility of its kind in Iowa. But there's a very human and very personal story behind this business.
Steffensmeyer Welding and Manufacturing Incorporated. We're located in Pilot Grove, Iowa. We're down here in the southeast corner of the state. We're in our 38th year of business, and it was actually founded by my late husband in 1982. He was an individual who knew he was not going to go to college, and so he started working on the farm and then landed in a fabrication job shop. They needed more space, so they moved to the location that we are currently at. The story he told me, he was working for this guy, and one day he said, well, Ben, it's all yours. So the business has really transitioned and evolved from those early, a lot of farm repair to business to business and expanding really outside of Lee County, Iowa. We shipped an order to Florida last week. So things have changed quite a bit around here.
How involved were you in the business over the course of time?
We have five children. So those little people kept me quite busy for a long time. Ben would ask me over the years, would you want to come in and help Carla, our loan secretary? Carla was a staple of the business. She was here for almost 20 years. And I would say yes, and then I would turn up pregnant again. But that last time, after number five, we decided that was it. And so there was no more Jenny going away. And they built me a desk, literally. Carla taught me the ropes. And thank goodness, because, you know, unfortunately, Ben fell ill to a rare brain dementia. It's called frontal temporal dementia. And it was quite a lengthy illness, probably, you know, looking back in hindsight, 7-8 years of insidious decline for Ben. And he was, He was everything here at this business, in my humble opinion. He was sales, he was operations, he was, I remember one time, and we lived above the business. There's an apartment above, it's now all our conference room and offices, but my office was one of the kids' bedrooms, actually. But I remember somebody introducing Ben to, I believe it was a salesman, another employee, and Ben was racing through the office, and they stopped him and said, well, this is Ben, he's the owner. And the look on that guy's face, because Ben was hands just black and clothes and face. I mean, Ben was in the thick of what he did here. He absolutely loved it.
And that is not exactly what that other person pictured the owner of the business doing. But that was obviously a great way to stay involved. And that was how the whole thing started, was him working in that field. Obviously, it was devastating for the business and for the family for him to fall ill in this way. It would have been very easy to say, we'll take care of Ben and his health. We'll sell the business to someone else. But yet through it all, you kept the business running and now have taken it in different directions that weren't even conceivable back then.
As I look around at the equipment that's here, I inherited this. Ben was looking beyond ag repair. He had to be. The investments that he made in the equipment were done. And so I feel like I started to make investments in people. Ben always said, it's the people, and he's absolutely right. At the end of the day, it truly is the employees that make any company what it is. I just firmly believe that.
You were involved with the business, but he was working, as you earlier described, getting his hands quite dirty because that's what he loved to do and kept a good hand on the business that way. So here you are with a different, I presume, management style. We all have different styles. You have a different orientation. That takes a while to get the people that work for you on board with a new person in charge, and that would be the case regardless of who the new person is. What were some of the challenges that you had to overcome in order to keep the business not only stable, but then growing and thriving beyond that?
Moving beyond all of those tough years and doing life without Ben, kids without Ben, and a business that I knew a little bit about, but I am not an entrepreneur. I did not start this thing intentionally. I inherited it. Come to find out, I actually thoroughly enjoy it after getting through a few tough years. I really am quite passionate about and actually feel some responsibility, not to carry on Ben's legacy, but I enjoy the fact that, you know, we mentioned Ben's hands and his enthusiasm and love for the trade. He loved people. He loved his employees. He loved his customers and his vendors, as I do too. I don't have the trade skill that he had, but in this role, I have the opportunity to provide a pretty wonderful place to work for those who want to pursue the trades that are housed here. It's kind of exciting. I enjoy economic development. I love our community. Ben and I both grew up here in Southeast Iowa. There's lots of work to be done, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
For someone in your business now, what are some of the challenges that you face? Because you're shipping orders to Florida, as you mentioned earlier. Well, there's a Florida business that would like to have that. You'd like to expand your business beyond. You're in a unique area of the state in Southeast Iowa where you have competition beyond state borders that folks perhaps in the central portion of the state don't have as readily apparent. So what are some of the challenges that your company currently faces in order to remain a thriving going concern?
Without question, revenues are down, definitely COVID related. However, I have not had my attention on sales. And this is kind of a new realization. My emphasis for the last, how long have I been doing this? 8, 9 years, 10 maybe, whatever it's been, has been in operations. I felt like when we lived here, things were not quite as organized as I might have them be, whether it was in my house or in my business. But when it comes to a business, I needed improvements for safety reasons, for efficiency reasons, and I kind of forgot about sales. And, you know, we've got to have orders. What's fun for me is kind of having realized this, I really am a people person. This is a true story. The reason we shipped product to Florida is because I was coming back from Florida and sitting in an airport, and the gentleman next to me was on a phone call. Phone call ended, and I leaned over and said, I apologize, but I was eavesdropping. What is it that you make? The rest is history. Business cards were exchanged. 7 months later, we ship product. I think everybody knows this. We're talking about Zoom calls. This is how we are communicating these days. I feel like we're in a reset. It's a global reset. And relationships mean more now than ever. It's easy for me to talk to people, as it was that gentleman that day. So I'm looking forward to kind of this next phase. I'm going to call it just my own personal journey here at Stephens Meyer Welding. Because although I do like operations, because I feel like I have the ability to point something out, find opportunity for improvement, and kind of make some changes, but the people stuff's going to be way funner than that.
Jenny Stephensmeyer, CEO of Stephensmeyer Welding and Manufacturing in Pilot Grove, online at stephweld.com. That's stephweld.com. And that brings us to the close of this week's program. Next week, as a new school year begins, we'll focus on developing the next generation of workers by helping them develop healthy habits and enhancing their educational experiences, even in a time of COVID-19. That's next week at this same time. In the meantime, you can listen to all or part of today's program by going to totallyiowa.com and clicking on the radio programs link. You'll also find podcasts of full interviews with many of the folks you hear on this program. They're listed as IBR Extras and IBR Business Profiles. We welcome your comments. Send them by email to radio@totallyiowa.com. I'm Jeff Stein. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you have a prosperous week.
The Iowa Business Report is presented with support from the Iowa Association of Business and Industry. Follow ABI on Twitter @IowaABI and online at iowaabi.org.